Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions along the way. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world, let's face it, don't know God for sure, and definitely is in deep need of more love, don't you think? I mean, take a look around, my friend. There's a lot of bad news bears out there. How can I take the good news of Jesus Christ as presented in his Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a light in this present darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present his kingdom, not someday, but today and every day. And that's what this show is all about. So glad you could join us today. Oh, we got a good one. It's the Epiphany. I love this gospel. Every year we read the same gospel on the Epiphany, and it's amazing. But before we get into it, what do you say we take the time to quiet our minds? You know, just breathe, put ourselves in the presence of God. You know, sometimes people will say, well, you know, God never really talks to me. And I say, well, are you listening? We spend so much time and so little, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's good just to quiet ourselves and take stock. Where am I going? And God will lead you, kind of like one of those GPS systems. Like occasionally you might, you know, the lady will say go right and you'll go left. We'll make a mistake, but those GPS systems will reroute us. In the same way, the Holy Spirit will reroute you when you make a mistake. We have to be in tune to the quiet voice. And since the quiet voice won't raise itself up to compete with all the screaming voices of this world, we've got to dial ourselves in, and that's what we're going to do right now. God's got a lesson for you today, my friend. Are you ready to hear it? We are hearing from the Gospel of Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising, and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least of the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage.' After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until they came and stopped over the place where this child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way." The Gospel of the Lord. My friend, this is a deep pool. There's a whole lot here to learn. So call in the kids. It's going to be good. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You hang out. We'll be right back. And we're going to talk all about this gospel and a few other things along the way here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Today we revisit, as we do every year at this time, the three wise men. Tradition names them Melchior, Balthasar, and Gaspar, collectively known as the Magi. But who are these mysterious men? Where do they come from? And more importantly, how can we apply this story into our daily living? I remember when I was a kid growing up, one of our family yearly rituals at Christmas time was that somebody had to climb the steep stairs into the attic and bring down the Christmas boxes that were, of course, filled with all the ornaments and Christmas decorations that we had collected over the years to decorate the tree. And that somebody usually was me. Now, one of the highlights of that chore was opening up the box that held the manger scene. I remember the box well. It was specifically designed with molds that held each figurine. So we'd take them out and carefully, you know, of course, they had to be placed in a certain way. Baby Jesus was always up front and center in the crib. Mary was to the right, Joseph to the left, and behind Mary stood the little shepherd boy with the lamp, you know, but he wasn't the only shepherd. Had several shepherds kind of standing around. But then, of course, my favorite were the smiling animals. I used to love to play with the animals, and I'd place them in different places throughout the manger. But then there were these mysterious men in the background. They didn't look like anybody else. They didn't dress like anybody else. And they had this strange animal called a camel. But they had gifts, which as a child really got my attention. And you know, recently I was visiting a house and they had a nativity scene, and obviously the kids had gotten into it, and they had rearranged the manger scene, and they had put one of the wise men right next to Jesus, and I couldn't help but think, well, that's wrong. That's Mary's spot. But then I stopped, and I thought, well, how would I know? I mean, how would anybody know? I wasn't there. And honestly, I don't want to spoil the party here, but the fact of the matter is, any scripture scholar will tell you that the Magi probably didn't show up till 2 or 3 years after Jesus was actually born. But why let the facts spoil a good story? Through the years, tradition has conflated the story of the Magi and the birth of Jesus and put them both in the manger. Why? Because that's what we do. Speaking of tradition, also known as folklore or myth, this is what we have done with Christmas. Now, myth is defined as a traditional story, especially one concerning an early history of a people or explaining the supernatural. Okay, but there's a second definition, which is where the problem comes in. And that definition is a widely held but false belief or idea. And like I said, this is the problem, because many will regard myth as something that's not true. And that is not the case at all. Myth is true. I mean, maybe the details of the story might be a bit sketchy, but the higher truth that it's trying to convey is very, very true. Take, for example, the talking snake in Genesis. What is that story trying to communicate? Well, it's trying to communicate how evil entered the world. So the question is not, can a snake talk? The question is there evil in the world? And you don't got to look too far to see the answer to that question. Myth is how we attempt to explain the supernatural, which is a challenge because the supernatural lies outside the experience of our natural world. But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. That's like saying, I've never seen $1 million, so $1 million doesn't exist. And of course it does. Now, when you apply the idea of myth to Christmas and the birth of Jesus, well, it's almost overwhelming. You've got Santa Claus, mistletoe, reindeer, elves, manger scene, three wise men, but hold on there, Sparky, it might be tempting to lump the three wise men into this fable myth, but we have historical evidence of the wise men and the Magi. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews?" So again, who are these guys, these Magi? First thing I'd like to point out is notice that it says Magi came from the east. Doesn't say three Magi came from the east, just says Magi came from the east. So it could have been 50 for all we know. But of course, tradition puts a number of three, most likely corresponding with the three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But again, who are these mysterious men we call Magi? Well, Magi are hereditary priesthood of the Medes, the Persians. And we can read all about it in the book of Daniel. That's in the Old Testament. There was this king of Babylon. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. And he had a dream, which was really more like a nightmare. And of course, in the ancient world, dreams were taken very seriously. And when King Nebuchadnezzar woke up from his dream, he immediately called in his priests, his sorcerers, his wise men, who, like I said, were this priestly sect that were running the country, and demanded that they interpret his dream. And so they said, "Okay, well, King, tell us about the dream." And the king said, "I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you anything about the dream, because if you are who you say you are, I don't need to tell you. And by the way, if you don't interpret my dream, then I'm going to know you're a fraud, and I will have you and your families put to death." So this is a very bad day for the Magi. So they had heard that there was this one Jewish prisoner of war named Daniel. Remember now, Babylonia had captured Israel and had taken many back into captivity, and Daniel was one of the captives. And word got out that he could interpret dreams. So they brought him before the king like a lamb led to slaughter. But much to their surprise, not only did he know what the dream was, he told King Nebuchadnezzar exactly what it meant. And the king was so pleased that he immediately made Daniel head priest, or Rab Mag, which means chief of the Magi. And he became the chief administrator of both Babylonia and the entire Persian Empire, which I'm sure didn't sit so well with the other Magi. Now that word Magi comes from the word magus, which is where we get the word magistrate, because not only were the Magi authority on things religion, but they also would mediate all civil, legal, and political issues. So these Magi are highly learned people in both the areas of law, mathematics, politics, astrology, religion. They certainly would have been very familiar with all the world's religions at the time, Judaism, of course, being one of them. So I don't think it would be too much of a stretch to assume that Daniel, once he was Rab Mag, would have taught his fellow Magi all about the prophecies of the coming Messiah to be born among the Jews. Now, interestingly, if you consider the Jewish nation and the Persian nation, they're very different culturally in a lot of ways, but they suffered a remarkably similar fate. Both nations would fall to Alexander the Great, only later to regain their independence, and then came the rise of Rome, where General Pompey of volcano fame conquered Jerusalem and installed Herod Antipas as the puppet king. Rome would later attack Israel's neighbor, Parthia, which of course is run by the Persians, but Parthia mounted a counterattack to Rome and attacked its neighbor Israel, causing King Herod to flee back to Rome as the Parthians took control. Then they let Israel have their own country back. Meanwhile, Herod, who's now in exile, convinces Caesar Augustus through much pleading and bribery to retake Israel. And after 3 years of fighting, Rome finally conquers Israel and returns Herod as the puppet king. Now, I know we're getting a bit in the weeds here, but a point is coming, I promise. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back, and we will continue to consider this amazing gospel and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together, we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Not just for the break, we were going through a little bit of history of both Persia and Israel. And I'd promise you that there was a point coming. Well, here it is. Behold, Magi from the east, which we can assume is Parthia, arrived saying, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have seen his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. So can you kind of see how, given the history between these two countries, there might have been a bit of cause for concern for King Herod? Now, remember I had mentioned there was no specific number. You got to assume that given how important these men were, they were VIPs for sure, given the fact that they were in hostile territory, given the fact that they were carrying treasure, I seriously doubt it was just three guys traveling alone on camels. I'm quite sure they would have had a significant escort, a large caravan with soldiers, an entourage so large that the Roman garrison that was stationed in the walls of Jerusalem was not willing to attack it, which would explain why everybody was so troubled. But that's not all. Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw the star at its rising and have come to do him homage. I mean, think what King Herod must have been thinking. What newborn king of the Jews? I'm the king of the Jews, and there's only room for one king around here. Now remember, we've talked about Herod in the past. He was a psychopathic killer. He had his own wife killed, several uncles killed, even his own son killed because they threatened his power. So I'm sure he would not have taken kindly to even the suggestion of another king. We saw the star that's rising and have come to do him homage. Now, tradition and mythology tells us that these magi, were following a star, which would have been a hard thing to do for several reasons. Number one, the telescope had not been invented yet. But another thing, stars don't move. I mean, they might look like they're moving, but it's actually the world that's moving. So stars don't move, but you know what does move? Planets. Planets move. In fact, there's an actual term for that. When a planet moves upward in the sky, it will reach a point where it will stop before it starts to descend. And the point where it stops before it starts to descend, it's called its rising. And you know another thing that's amazing? Astronomers can backtrack the night sky and determine exactly what the night sky would have looked like during this time if you were east of Jerusalem. Let's say, for example, Persia, and guess what? If you were in Persia at the time and you looked at the morning sky, you would have seen the planet Jupiter at its rising, just above Jerusalem. And not only that, but in the ancient world, the planet Jupiter was known as the king of the stars. Astronomers have also been able to determine that if you were to arise in Jerusalem at this time and waited for the morning sky, once again, Jupiter, the king of the stars at its rising, would be right over, wait for it, Bethlehem. We saw the star at its rising and have come to do him homage. Now, much to their surprise, I would imagine, the Magi, after traveling this great distance to arrive to the center of the Hebrew faith, after following this star of that was foretelling the coming of the Messiah, it's just business as usual. Just another ho-hum day in the big city. Star? What star? Watch this, because this is really important. These pagan foreigners had traveled at a great distance, at great peril, to follow a star that nobody in Jerusalem even seemed to notice. And you want to know why? Because nobody took the time to look up. Which sounds like a perfect description of our world today. A world that is sleeping. A world that is not taking the time to look up. So, Herod calls in his people to the Situation Room, because it's definitely a situation. And he says, where is this Christ to be born? And they refer him to the prophet Micah, who says, Bethlehem, which is precisely where Jupiter, the king of the stars, was seen at its rising. And what happens next is kind of curious, at least to me. It tells me that Herod doesn't take this very seriously. And I think of two reasons. Number one, he's not a religious man. And number two, he just sends him off into the night alone. What does he say? He said, when you find a child, let me know so I can pay my respects. Yeah, really. But he doesn't even send a small escort to keep an eye on him. So off they go to the small community called Bethlehem, which is about 6 miles outside of Jerusalem. They find the child. They prostrate themselves and they do him homage. And then they open up their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Can you imagine what Joseph must have been thinking about now? I mean, imagine poor Joseph, what he's been through. Mary coming to him with this fantastic story, which he doesn't believe at all. But then he has a dream. Later he finds out that when he's in his hometown for the census, all his relatives will turn their backs on him, and the child is born in an animal stall. And then there was that prophecy from both Simeon and Anna at his presentation. But I can't help but think that through it all, he was plagued with doubt. Now all of a sudden, these strange men show up from the east to do his child homage and offer these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which tradition tells us the gold represents kingship, the frankincense represents priesthood, and the myrrh represents perfume to anoint the dead. But you know what else they represent? Money. Money that Joseph did not have, and money that he would need to make his escape to Egypt, because God will provide for his people. After having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country another way, the double secret back way. And let me tell you, this is no small detail. Defying the orders of a king in his own land is the kind of thing that'll get you killed. But then again, I guess sometimes following God's will can be a bit dangerous. So what a story. What do you do with this story? I mean, and most importantly, how can we apply this story into our daily living? What is the deeper meaning of this story? These mysterious kings we call Magi. Well, I suppose there are several meanings here, but I want to focus on the biggest one, and that is this. As we celebrate the Christmastide, this season that through the years has been muddled with tradition, folklore, myth, let us not get lost in the haze of mistletoe and tinsel. Let us not be so distracted by the show that we fail to take the time to look up. When these Magi arrived in the city of Jerusalem, it was just another day in the big city, ho-hum, just another day. Why? Because they were asleep, spiritually catatonic. As a result, they completely missed it. The high priest missed it. The scribes missed it. Everybody missed it. They were in a spiritual coma. You know, they reminded me of Lazarus lying in the grave, wrapped themselves in burial bands of sin as they snoozed in spiritual slumber. And that, my friends, is the lesson. The biggest difference between the Magi and the people of Jerusalem, very simple. The Magi were watching the morning sky. The Magi were awake. What about you? Yes, my friend. What about us? What about you? If Jesus showed up in the middle of our lives today, would we even notice? Would you notice? Or are we so caught up in this material world that we never even take the time to look up? Do you take the time to look up? My friends, let us not allow ourselves to get lost in the tradition, folklore, and myth of the Christmas story. Jesus is sending you a star today. Let us wake from our spiritual slumber as we seek Jesus in the morning sky. And let us ask Jesus, what would he have us see today? You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin, swinging the bat of truth. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.